crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, "We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. She's been driven way off track. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now. And we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore." Remember golden days when the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. But now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon old glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame. We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. This country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back.
Welcome back, folks. I want to thank you all so much. Oh, Bat Rabbit. I want to thank you all so much for being so patient with the music. I want to thank Julie, my board engineer there in Texas, for the music that she brought up just before the break and before we ended the first hour. Everything that I had for my show planned today, we're putting that on till next Monday. Next Monday, we'll be bringing Desmond Ballard up along with one of our state senators, our representatives in Salem. Both James and Desmond will be coming back with me on Monday. I got a real big shock, and Pat Rabbit, I want to thank you so much for agreeing to come up with me this afternoon. I know you had a very busy schedule today. I have not, Pat Rabbit, been on my computer since I did the show last Monday. I had decided that I was going to kind of leave my computer at home, and I went to Coos Bay, I went to North Bend, where they had the Republicans that were voting for the Oregon Council, actually the committee, the National Committee Man and the National Committee Woman to represent Oregon for the next few years here on a national level with the GOP. And I decided to leave my computer at home when we left on Friday, and I only brought my phone with me. So I did not check any of my messages and did not see that PAC woman, who you know has been very faithful to Revolution Radio. She's in Australia, that she and Omega Logos and Mitzi had put in a message that we had mechanic in the hospital. So I did not get the message, Pat Rabbit, until just as I was doing the show here today. I want to give my condolences to you, Pat Rabbit. You have known Mechanic for even years longer than I. I only knew him, well, I don't know, remember, how long was I on with you guys? About 6 years?
Yeah, so Mechanic wasn't around for near that time.
No, he wasn't.
He came around 3-4 years ago.
Yeah, and I was with you guys about 6-7 years, wasn't I?
Yeah, at least
6 or 7 years. But, you know, when he came around about 3-4 years ago, there was, as you know, we won't go into it, but some things that were going on, I would call them growing pains within Revolution Radio. And, you know, he was one of those that said, you know, Maggie, right is right and wrong is wrong. And what's going on here is wrong. And I realized then that I outgrew Revolution Radio. And that when God closes a door, he usually opens us a window to move on. Mechanic was quite a gentleman. I never got to meet him in person. I did know he was running for office in Nevada. Do you want to share a little bit about Mechanic's background, please?
Well, yeah, it wasn't in Nevada. It was in Mammoth Lakes in California. It's where he was running for office. That's where he lived, was Mammoth Lakes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he grew up in foster homes. And I don't know that much about his history, but he had some schooling with regard to acting or something like that. But I don't know much about it. But he was a host at the station, and he was, after a while, running for office. He was embroiled in the affairs there. He was kind of getting out and watching people and making statements and this and that. But he, it was on March 8th, right around noon, that he had what he thought was extreme indigestion. And the next thing we know, he had called 911, though it was some time he was walking around before he called 911. He should have called earlier, quite honestly, but he finally called, but at that point he was unable to enunciate words, and so the policeman had to use GPS to get to him, and he was without oxygen to his brain for at least 10 minutes. They found him no heartbeat, etc., unresponsive, and so they life-flighted him to Renown Hospital in Reno, and they put a stent in. And they put him on a ventilator, and he was on the ventilator for about a week, but he never came around again. And so they took him off the ventilator Friday just past.
And so condolences. I'm in shock. Like I said, he was such a gentleman to me, especially in the last few weeks that I was with Revolution Radio. And I think you and Dr. Robin and Jer-Bear were my very, very strongest supporters, you know. When I needed some advice, you gave it to me whether I wanted it or not.
Mm-hmm.
We all keep growing in radio, don't we?
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
What's it like in Louisiana right now? Is the weather there?
It's kind of chilly. It's unseasonal.
Is it really?
Yeah. We're going to go into Aries on the 20th. 2 days from now, on Wednesday, I think. So that'll be the equinox, and generally it's starting to really warm up around, you know, days up to the 80s and things like that. But we're not having that right now. We're getting down to 39 tonight.
Oh wow! Now listen, I wanted to ask you. I heard that we've also lost some other people in Revolution Radio in the last year and a half or so. Can you tell me who they are?
I'm trying to think of who that might be. Mona passed.
Mona passed away. You mean we're talking about Mona, who's the feral hippie?
Yeah, she passed in December.
Oh, no. What happened?
It was a heart-related issue. I believe she had, what is it? It's called
congestive heart failure?
Yeah, that's it. Congestive heart failure. That's what she had, and from what I hear. But, so I'd never talk to her again. And there was much sadness, and that's about it when it comes to people passing.
Now, there was a gal that used to follow us quite a bit. Her name was Val, and she was back east in an assisted care facility. And all of a sudden, her phone number, she was texting me all the time with the abuses that were going on in the convalescent hospitals and the care facilities. And she was very close to Mona and Jer-Bear and myself, and all of a sudden, her number got disconnected. Do you know anything about Val or Valerie?
I do not. No, never heard of her, Maggie.
Okay.
There's a lot of people connected with Mechanic, I guess, because of shows he did in other venues, such as YouTube and Rumble. He was starting to do his roundtable on Rumble, and he was simulcasting it over to Revolution Radio. or the other way around. They were doing two together, any way you want to look at it. And there were other people that all of a sudden I'm kind of, you know, becoming aware of them, and I'm going, I've never met them before. This is interesting. He has two brothers, and he has one sister. And apparently they all grew up in foster homes, so they didn't grow up together. But they know each other now, though the sister is kind of distant, I understand. But the two brothers were there the other night on a memorial that was done.
Oh.
I was listening to it. I wasn't participating, but I was listening to it. It was on YouTube, I believe.
Well, I would like to play a little bit that I have from Mechanic. This goes back a ways, and this is when he was doing his Rumble and whatever. And it was called Get a Grip with the Mechanic 1776. Okay. Are you familiar with that one?
And once you play it, I might say, oh, yeah, I've heard it. I'll have to see.
Okay. Okay, here we go. And this is in memory of Mechanic. His name was Seth, right? Was that a gay?
His name was Steve Guthrie. Now, he used the name Seth at times. He said, he told people, I know that. It's a name I gave to myself. For whatever reason, don't know the history, but his real name was Steve Guthrie. He also used the last name Maniachi at times, though I don't believe that's his birth name. Probably someone that he knew and loved in his life. And so
okay.
I'm just speculating.
Okay, so folks, this is in memory. Those of us across the radio broadcasting road world, whether it is, you know, Steve Bennett, whether it's Mark Kornke, John Stattmiller has passed away now. Many of us have been around. We knew about Clay Douglas. He was one of those way back. I don't even know what happened to Clay. Pat Rabbit was one of my managers on Revolution Radio, and he's gone on to bigger and better things now. He's also your musician, right?
Yeah, I play music.
You play music? You want to share a little bit before we play this other thing?
I just record my own stuff. I like heavy metal and modern rock, and then I like to do Irish traditional music, whether it's fiddle or banjo or whatever. So, with those,
what's the name of your band?
Oh, no band.
No band?
Just me and my computer at the recording studio. I record my own stuff. But no, it's all me. If you hear it, I'm playing everything. There's no band. But I'm doing a music show with Deacon John. He and I are doing something on Rumble on Monday and on Friday.
Really?
Yeah, Music Mondays with Deaky and Pat Rabbit, or Metal Rabbit. I think it's going to be Deaky and Metal Rabbit. And we do something on Friday, too. It's on Rumble.
Well, you tell Deacon no hard feelings. The past is the past, and I wish him all the best.
All right.
Okay? Good. Okay, let's play this thing. This is in memory of Mechanic. His full name is Guthrie, right?
Steve Guthrie.
So this is Steve Guthrie. He made his transition last Friday at, what was it, 7:08, you said, in the morning?
1:08 p.m., right afternoon, they took him off the ventilator. And he liked to be known as Seth, you know. So
Seth, okay.
His name was Seth Guthrie, but he was actually
Seth Guthrie, but I knew him as the Mechanic. And here's just a little bit of one of his shows.
Yes, let's go back to where all of this is coming from. It's the education systems, the parents not checking into the homework assignments. A bunch of that has gone down, right? So let's see. I'll bring down this Rumble that I'm on. I'm watching the chat over here. I can see everybody in there. We'll switch screens with that. And then what we'll do is we'll get back over here. And go back to my Twitter, because I do want to get into a 40-second little video. I'm just going to switch up topics and continue to go down my my Twitter feed here. From time to time, I'm going to jump into the social issues here that I think are responsible for the conditions we find ourselves in our little towns and communities and cities, where people are just dumb as a rock. And it's by design, just dumb as a rock. Well, look at this 5G tower right here, maybe this 600G tower, I don't know, but check this out. This tower, this tower's a trip, man. You got a bunch of birds tearing it apart. Look at this. These birds are pecking away. and they're literally going after the wires on this cell tower. You can look at the seagull right up here. I think there's a pigeons and seagulls, both. Or it might just be all pigeons, I'm not sure. But then you'll see what I bring to the table. I got a hell of an upbringing. What I've laid eyes on, what I've physically experienced in my life has brought me to where I am now. There's no doubt about it. And the people in my chat room, you can ask them anything about me, they'll tell you, I'm raw like a dirty needle. I really am completely black-pilled when it comes to this fight for freedom. I don't care anymore necessarily about an individual's feelings. If you're in opposition, see, at this point, there's really no middle ground. If you are in opposition of freedom in any way, if you feel that it's another person's battle in any way, you are part of the problem. If you don't think freedom is the hill to die on, you are also a part of the problem. Because until you or someone else can prove to me that freedom isn't the hill to die on, and there are other things more important than freedom, like what? Steven Crowder changed my mind. What's more important than freedom? There is nothing more important than freedom. Change my mind. There's my slogan right there. There's nothing more important than freedom. Change my mind. And I'll tell you, you want to know the biggest deficit that the people who lost their freedom had when they lost it? You know what the one thing they did, the one big mistake that they failed to recognize? It's a new general principle. Apply the do not comply philosophy to your everyday general living. Do not comply. You're simply not going to comply and be within reason. I'm not talking about left turn signals, seatbelt, driver's license garbage. You want to fight the driver's license? That's on you. There's a lot of case law out there that'll support you, but I'm not going down that road right now in my own personal life. But helping people get a grip is something I've been doing for 4 years now. And I want to thank a couple of people from Rev Radio. They know who they are. And they inspired me to create Get a Grip Radio. I mean, I was saying the slogan as part of my radio broadcast, I would end the broadcast with Get a Grip. And I should have done this a long time ago, so much love, much love. But it looks like our bandwidth is finally back. We're getting some decent looks on our bandwidth, so that's good.
There we go. Pat Rabbit, I just happened to have saved that. Isn't that strange?
That's typical mechanic for you, yeah. A lot of his things I didn't agree with, but that aside, he was a good soul, and you know, who's to say who's right or wrong, but he was a good soul, and he was a real soldier for the truth and freedom, and that's what we need to remember him for.
That's right. What? Now, one of the things that you and I were talking about in the past is, what do people here in the United States at a grassroots level and local level, what would you recommend that they need to do in order for us to be able to take back this country? How do we deal with this invasion on our border?
Well, people need to really understand what's really going on, but that's not something you can make people do. People have to figure out how to do that on their own, by themselves. You know, you can put it in front of them, but for them to believe it and to take up the flag and everything, well, that's another thing. You can just hope that they'll... what's going on the border is... I don't know what... I might say, well, we need to do this or do that, but is that proper? I don't know. And, you know, it's kind of clear what we need to do and what's not being done. And, you know, it's like a war is being waged against us here at the moment. You know, whether or not we believe it, and it's not quite kinetic yet, but it's proceeding. And
it's going very kinetic, isn't it?
Well, it might. It's not yet, but it could, you know, unless you're seeing things I'm not. It's just people are watching, and at least the Texas was doing some stuff, but all of a sudden I don't hear as much about it now with Abbott and his National Guard and all this. And it will, in part, it will collapse under its own weight, I think, because it's just, we're not set up to sustain it. It's just not going to, it's not going to work. And what you're going to wind up is chaos. Unfortunately, you know, here and there, not everywhere, but here and there. And it'll be dealt with the way it's dealt with. And I just really don't have the answers. I can watch. That's what I do. I watch. But when it comes to saying what actually the answer is or needs to be done, anything I say should be as apparent to anyone else. And I don't have anything special to offer.
Right. We have a message from Australia from Pac Woman. She told me to tell you much love to you.
Hey, Pac Woman. Yeah, I talk to her now and again.
Yeah, folks, as you all know, here on Republic Broadcasting Network, we are all live audio. There's no visual. So the only people that can see each other right now is Pat Rabbit and myself. Pat Rabbit, one of the things that Pac Woman wrote to me not too long ago, and I was wondering if you could address this. She said, while everyone is talking about AI stealing jobs or becoming self-aware and turning on humans, there's one AI threat that you won't hear about in the mainstream media. According to the CIA's former director, this threat could lead to the demise of 9 out of every 10 Americans. And we're not talking about in the very distant future. She said this could strike any day now. To prepare everyday Americans, the former CIA officer Jason Hansen just released an urgent report, and he revealed what he's doing to protect his wife and 7 kids. He recommends all Americans do the same before it's too late. What would you consider, Pat Rabbit, there in Louisiana, that Americans could do? We can't be 100% prepared for everything all the time, but what would you recommend are the key most important things we need to be prepping for and about right now?
Be totally aware, watch everything that's happening, and then do have food and whatever else you might need to help protect yourself.
And then what about when there's people out there that have not prepared, and for even those of you living in the rural or the countryside, if you don't have a lot of family members and you don't have any neighbors that you know or that you can trust that have been fully vetted, and let's say a lady comes along with a child and she's begging for food and you give some of your food, she goes back to another group of people and says, guess what? This is where I got the food. Next thing you know, you have 50 men coming at you to take away what you have. You know, yeah. What do people do?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. You know, those are very possible scenarios, but I don't torture myself with them.
Right, right.
And just, you know, let's just, I take every day, one day at a time, take everything as it comes and let's see what happens, and not, don't worry about things that are not happening or haven't happened yet. I think that way too much is made of quote unquote AI. I don't think it's ever anything that could become self-aware. It's just, there's no one home. It's nothing but a computer. It's only as good as the information it's given. And it's just another trend. It's a trending thing. And oh, yeah, they're going to talk it up and everything. But OK, fine. Let's just see what happens one day at a time.
Right.
And let's not worry about, you know, possibilities that are not happening or haven't happened.
I understand. Yeah, I'm going to be traveling in April across country, and I'm going to be going through some of the real rural areas. And one of the places I'm going to be stopping off at is Indiana, and to meet a third cousin I've never met, and her children and her grandchildren. So it's going to be a real big family reunion. This third cousin and I found each other on 23andMe. And then I'm going to be heading on to Providence, Rhode Island. I've never been there. What do the people on the East Coast feel about what is going on right now in the state of affairs. Before you left radio, what were you hearing? What was the scuttlebutt that was going on?
Well, not that I was getting much quote-unquote scuttlebutt. It's just, okay, the East Coast is rather woke, okay? It's very Democrat. In general, a lot of blue states up there, a lot of blue cities. That's going to be your problem. That's going to be what you see, because the red states are in the South and the Midwest for the most part. And that'll be noticeable, I think. You'll have to tell me what you saw after you see it.
I will definitely do that. I appreciate you taking the time coming up with us. We're going to be going to a break here in a few moments. Can you share with us a little bit more about what you believe Mechanic's message was? And so in memory of him, to let people know that, you know, depending, it doesn't matter what station they turn into, what network they turn into, that many of us broadcasters are all trying to do the same thing. And one of those things is to wake up the people. What message would you give, and also in memory of Mechanic before we go?
That's what Mechanic was trying to do, wake people up, to get them. Like I said earlier, there's only so much you can do. People have to wake themselves up. You can put it in front of them, but they got to figure it out. But that's what he was endeavoring to do, and my hat's off to him for it, because he worked hard at it, and who knows just how far that might go. But it's just that, you know, it's the same fight we're all fighting, and it's being aware and hoping others can become more aware, and let's make it happen, because this is our future.
It is. You know, one of the things that there are many of us that are conservatives trying to wake up the American public that knew not to take those jabs. As you know, my father-in-law and my mother died 8 days apart after taking the Moderna. Oh, and I lost lots of neighbors to the Moderna, and Pfizer died within hours or days or weeks. In fact, I lost four cousins to taking the jabs. Mechanic, he was not one of those that would have taken the jab, right?
No. Most of us around the station wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole.
Uh-uh. So this was a heart attack due to either hereditary or diet or something else, stress, whatever.
I think it was hereditary, maybe stress. He was very high activity. He lived well, a lot of exercise, all that, very active person. And so the only thing I can see is that it was hereditary. It's running in the family, and that it can do that, I guess.
So what you're saying is the symptoms were first, like many times we've heard, people ignore the symptoms of feeling like indigestion, and he ignored it?
Yeah, he thought it was something he ate.
Whoa.
He was told he needed to call 911 or go to the emergency room, and he put it off probably a little too long, and that's what cost him.
Yeah. So basically, he was life flighted from California to Reno, Nevada.
Right.
And then in Reno, Nevada, he was in a coma and never came out of it.
It was an induced coma. Yeah.
It was an induced coma.
Yeah. But he never did show any signs of brain activity. And probably on about three different occasions, his brain was without oxygen for maybe 10 minutes or so. And that's enough to really cause damage.
Yes, it is. Well, like I said, you know, he was quite a good guy in a lot of ways. Like you said, I didn't always agree with everything he said either. But he was no fence sitter. He would definitely tell you what he thought. And usually he was a little bit different than a couple of the other people that we knew in different areas of broadcasting over the years. He would actually be able to give you the evidence or whatever and then say, now you go look it up for yourself and do your research. He was real good at that. Because he didn't want you to just believe him. He wanted you to go look it up for yourself. That's the only way that people are going to really have things resonate with them, right?
I agree. Yeah. Gotta find it. That whole thing about I found it myself is a very, very important thing in the human make.
Right. Thank you so much for coming on, Pat Rabbit. God bless you. God bless you.
God bless you too, Maggie. Thank you.
And, namaste. Namaste.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hineni, hineni. I'm ready, my lord.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
That I am, but this thing's going on, make me mad down to the core. I have to work like a dog to make ends meet. There's crooked politicians and crime in the street, and I'm madder than hell, and I ain't gonna take it no more. They tell our kids just say no, and then some panty waste judge lets a drug dealer go. He slaps him on the wrist and he turns it back out on the town. But if I had my way with people selling dope, I'd take a big tall tree and a short piece of rope. I'd hang them up behind a little swing till the sun goes down. Well, you know what's wrong with the world today? People done gone, put their Bibles away. They're living by the law of the jungle, not the law of the land. Well, the good book says it, so I know it's the truth. An eye for an eye and a tooth. You better watch where you go and remember where you've been. That's the way I see it, I'm a simple man. Now I'm the kind of man who'd know
Folks, welcome back to Republic Broadcasting Network. I am your host, Maggie Rose, and you are listening to The Concord Lantern. And our board engineer and manager today is Julie. Julie, thank you so much for that. I was very familiar with that voice. You're right. It is Charlie Daniels. I thank you so much for that incoming music. I really do appreciate it. Charlie Daniels is an awful lot to me, like my former so-called godfather, John Wayne. As you know, I grew up in Hollywood off and on weekends with my uncle Hugh O'Brien, who played Wyatt Earp, the TV series from 1955-something up through the 1960s. And it was interesting watching my uncle play a cowboy sheriff. It really was. I remember his vest. Many of you that saw pictures of him only saw him in the black and white pictures, but the vest was this really beautiful. He had a green one and he had a gold one as well. And I remember when we went to one of his birthday party celebrations long after I grew up, we went down to, I think it was the Gene Autry Museum is where he had one of his birthday parties. And my hair was fairly long then. I was still a brunette, you know, my natural brunette color at the time. And he came up to me and he was a man of very, very few words. But he actually took time to really say, oh, you know, notice his niece was there. And he commented me on my hair, which is a very high compliment coming from him. And then he goes, would you like to wear my guns? So, you know, I was too little back when I was 5, 6, 7, 8 years old to put that big holster on and wear those two big guns on my hips. But it was kind of cool. I got to put on, you know, the Wyatt Earp gun holster that he used when he was doing his Wyatt Earp TV series. And one of the things that I do remember my uncle saying time and time again, that when you know that you're in the right and you know you're doing the right things, no matter what they do to try to take you down, you get, you know, knocked off that horse, you brush yourself off and you get back on. And if you get knocked off again, you brush yourself off and you get back on. And I remember saying, well, what happens if you get knocked off a third time? You brush yourself off and you get back on. You just keep riding. And that to me told me at a very young age, never be a quitter. Even if you don't succeed in what you set out to do, then you are not a failure. The failure is in not trying. The failure is in not trying. Trying and finding yourself being knocked off the horse over and over again and eating a mouthful of dirt, you are not a quitter as long as you kept trying. And if you think you failed, you have not failed. And that kind of brings me to another lesson in life that I learned, that when you try to do something and it seems like all the odds are against you, you on a human level think, well, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is what I'm meant to do. Maybe you haven't gone into the silence. Maybe you have not prayed to whatever you believe God is, the creator, the great architect in the sky. You need to go quiet. You need to go silent, into the silence, as they say, because God is not in a building. God is not in a building waiting for you. God is in the forest that you walk through. God is in the trees that you sit under. Pat Rabbit would tell you the same thing. God is at the ocean beach when you're walking along the sand and you take off your shoes and you're walking in thousands and thousands of grains of sand. God is in everything and God is everything. And sometimes when it appears that God has closed a door on you, actually he's either opened another door or he's opened a window. And Pat Rabbit knows very much what I'm talking about when I say that. So does Pac Woman. So does Omega Logo. So does Jer Bear. So does Mitzi. So does Noreen. They all know what I'm talking about. So if God closes a door or allows a door to be slammed on you or allows someone to harm you or discredit you, it's because man has free will, but it's up to you to not be the victim. It's up to you to make lemonade out of lemons and maybe sweeten to taste. It's up to you to take that and approach it from a different direction. My dad used to send a poem out. His name was Larry Jansen. He married my mom with five of his kids. My mother had many health issues. My baby sister was less than 2 years of age. She had cystic fibrosis. And my dad still married my mom. He'd been with, you know, nobody for basically for 11 years. He was a bachelor. And he married my mom with five of us. And he started to adopt us because our own biological father did not really want us. And he certainly didn't want to pay the child support. And he was perfectly happy to give us up for adoption so he wouldn't have to pay the child support. And this man, Larry Jansen, adopted the five of us and raised us all to adulthood, other than my sister who passed when she was 5.5 years old due to malpractice at Children's Hospital in Oakland, California. And my dad used to pay his utility bills, put the check in the envelope, you know, the old-fashioned way, put a stamp on it, and fold up a poem that was called Attitude, about how things that happen to us, 90% and 10%. I'm going to let you guys think about that poem. Is it 90% what happens to us and 10% how we react to it? Or is it 10% what happens to us and 90% how we should react to it? That's your homework lesson between now and next Monday. Is it 10% what happens to us and 90% how we react to it? Or is it the other way around? And the first person that can send me an email to the Concord Hour, the old email, it's the Concord Hour with Maggie at hotmail.com. The Concord Hour with Maggie at hotmail.com. Again, the Concord Hour with Maggie at hotmail.com. The first person that can answer that question, I will be sending something, a surprise in the mail. So I will let you know if you're the first person that responded, and then I will send you an email back and I will ask your P.O. box or your mailing address, and I'll have a very special surprise that I will send in the mail to you. So again, the email is the Concord Hour with Maggie at hotmail.com. That's my old email address when I had the Concord Hour and the Concord Show. Again, it's a Hotmail account. And so make sure that you put on there answer to question in the subject line, answer to the question in the subject line. And again, it's a poem called Attitude. I want you to send me an email with the author of that poem, Attitude. And I want you to let me know, is it 10% what happens to us and 90% how we react to it? Or is it 10% how we react to it and 90% what happens to us? And again, the first person to respond with the author's name of the poem Attitude and answering that question will get the prize. Which kind of takes me to what I was going to talk about till we got the shocking news about Mechanic today. Was this weekend I went to North Bend with my husband, to Coos Bay, North Bend, to the Mills Casino and Hotel. And there we met most of the head leadership of the Republican Party here in Oregon. This was a conference that they were having. It was called the Oregon Republican Party State Central Committee Meeting at North Bend, March the 16th, 2024. Welcome to Coos County and the election of the Oregon National Committee woman and the election of the Oregon National Committee man. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up, it doesn't matter what city you're in, what state you live in, or if you're overseas. There's going to be a lot of politics, a lot of people, you know, brown nosing, you know, kissing rear ends and all that. But there's a lot of really good people there that are there for the right reason. And what had happened here in Oregon was we had a man by the name of Solomon Yu, who was from communist China growing up. And he likes to tell the story that, you know, he had such a big mouth and he was all about freedom, and that his parents were warned by the Chinese Communist Party, you know, he better shut up or he's going to end up with a bullet in his head. You know, that was very dramatic for Solomon Yu to say that, okay, and bring that up. But the truth of the matter is he ended up having a sponsor, a friend of the family and a sponsor. And he had connections also with the World Economic Forum, with the United Nations. And Solomon Yu ended up in Alaska, the beautiful state of Alaska. And I heard these stories about his being involved with the School of the Americas. Now, you know, it's up to you what you really think about the School of the Americas. But what's interesting is Solomon Yu ended up as an adult coming to Oregon and somehow getting himself, he's a very good salesman, a used car salesman, very manipulative, very suave. And he got himself inserted into the Republican Party between 20, 25 years ago. And he knew the only way to really get prestige and a title for himself is if he had money. So supposedly with nothing, he ended up having amassing quite a bit of wealth. And we found out years later he was doing backroom deals with the Democrat Party, with people like the former Governor Kay Klitzhoffer, with Kate Brown, who is the governor before the one now, the illegitimate and illegal governor right now, Tina Kotek, who has no business being a governor because she's violated the Oregon State Constitution. And so he found himself in the Republican Party, and his job was to take down the Republican Party. His job was to insert himself like a Trojan horse into the Oregon Republican Party. And as a Trojan horse, he would say all the right words and do all the right things, but really be undermining the will of the Oregonian people. And he knew that if he worked with Portland and Salem and Eugene, which was the highest concentration of population of people, and the greatest concentration of very far left liberals and progressives, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, Marxists, and communists, he could swing things the way he wanted. His job was to make sure the Republican Party never got a Republican governor in Oregon again. And it's been that way for over 30 years. He made sure for the last 20, 25 years that the Republicans would never be the majority in the Senate or in the legislature up in Salem. That our representatives, who were either conservatives, whether they were Republican, Constitution Party, Libertarian, or Independent, it didn't matter, that they would never be able to have a say-so in what goes on here in Oregon. And that all of the Marxist, communist, and far-left liberal agendas would be shoved down our throats. And over the last 25 years to 30 years, Oregon has been taxed, many of these people, right into the grave. People have tried numerous times to get rid of him. And each time that we tried, he found some way to get himself inserted back in. He even sabotaged the recalls of Kate Brown three different times, him and Bill Currier. And then this weekend, he knew he was going to lose. They did a recall on Solomon Yu not very long ago. And the second time in a row that they tried to recall Solomon Yu, someone who was on their way to vote against him ended up, or their family ended up, in a car accident. Aren't those strange odds that the last two times to recall Solomon Yu, people ended up, or family members or the individuals themselves ended up in car accidents and could not be up there to vote against him. And he always slid by again as the National Republican Committee man by the hair of his chinny chin chin. But this weekend things changed somewhat. So I'm reporting to you it was a bittersweet victory this weekend. They ended up voting in, again, re-electing the incumbent, Tracy Hole, who's the Republican Oregon National Committee woman. She's been doing an outstanding job. Many, many people were very happy with her. We had another wonderful lady running against her by the name of Helen. She did an outstanding job presenting herself, but she lost to Tracy. So congratulations to Tracy. And then we had four men running for the Oregon Republican National Committee man. One of them was Solomon Yu. Solomon Yu had stated that he wasn't going to run again, but he didn't like the fact that Don Powers was running. Don Powers, who's actually been here 29 years, years longer than Solomon Yu. And Mr. Powers has actually worked very hard for Oregonians. He's worked for election integrity. He's worked for against the child trafficking that's going on. We had Jerry Cummings out of Columbia County, Oregon. We had Mr. Dan Mason also, all running against Solomon Yu. Well, there are two times they were allowed to vote. In the first vote, Jerry Cummings of Columbia County got 18 votes. Or was it 16? I think it was 16 votes. Jerry Cummings got 16 votes. And then Dan Mason got 28 votes. Solomon, you got 31 votes. And Don Powers, God bless him, he got 51 votes. Now, Solomon, you tried to say that Kerry Lake had endorsed him, but all we saw was a picture of the Oregon flag with his picture when he was younger superimposed over it and her picture superimposed over that. And then he said, yeah, Kerry Lake is endorsing me. We actually had videos of Dr. Douglas Frank, Johnny Appleseed of the Election Integrity from Ohio, that actually did a video endorsing Don Powers. We had Mr. Clements, who did the movie Let My People Go about J6, did a live video. We had the Mr. Pillow Man, Mike Lindell, did a live video endorsing Don Powers. We had Mr. Brown, an educator in Northern Oregon, endorsing him, and Jeff, a video endorsing him. We had Dr. Art Robinson, who's in Salem, is one of our representatives, endorsing him. Susan Gallagher with Parents' Rights in Education endorsing him. So Don Powers came out with 51 votes. Well, they decided to vote a second time. What does Mr. Yu do? Oh, he always pulls that rabbit out of a hat, doesn't he? Him and his mistress, Carrie McQuestion, and her mother, Susan Ellis Jones. And what he did is he said, well, I quit. I'm not going to run again for Oregon Republican Committee Chairman for the National. He said, I'm going to drop. I'm going to quit. And he told his people, who he had indoctrinated for years and brainwashed for years, to vote for another person. And so Don Powers, who was 51, to Jerry 16, to Hughes 31, to Mr. Mason's 28, Don Powers lost to Dan Mason. We congratulate Dan Mason for the win. Like I said, it was very bittersweet in Don Powers not being our select Oregon Republican committee man for National. But you know what? God has other plans for him, I bet. And I think he's going to follow that inner voice because he's doing so much good for Oregon. And he's been there for Oregonians. He's been down to the border many times, not just once for a photo op opportunity, but he's been to the border more than once. Because one of the biggest problems we have in Oregon here, besides the fentanyl coming up the I-5 corridor, is the child and sex trafficking and the prostitution we have going on here in Oregon. And so, again, we say congratulations to Tracy, congratulations to Dan, and more power to you, Don Powers. We know that you're going to continue to work with Mike Lindell. We know you're going to continue to work with Dr. Douglas Frank. We know you're going to continue to work with Mr. Clements. And we know that you're going to continue to represent Oregonians and you're going to continue to hear their voice. Next Monday, we're going to be bringing James up with us on this station from 2 to 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. He's a representative up in Salem. And we're also going to bring up Desmond, who's going to teach us what is going on with the Constitution of our state and how you can actually take back your state using your state constitution. It's not just the U.S. Constitution we need to know and understand. It is also our respective state constitutions that we need to be able to read them and their amendments and understand them and follow through. We cannot have people like David Brock Smith and Mr. Tuttle and Tina Kotek and Christine Drazen and Betsy Johnson all thinking, well, we're going to just follow this constitutional amendment, but we're going to ignore the other one. And too many of our state judges in Salem, in Oregon, and throughout the rest of the United States, many of these state judges are ignoring not only the U.S. Constitution, but the state constitution. And if you're going to shove a certain amendment down the throats of Oregonians that you passed recently, that's going to punish conservatives or Republican incumbents or candidates, then you need yourself to follow that same Oregon Constitution, an amendment that was passed in 1994, was upheld by the Marwin Act in 2020, that means that Christine Drazen cannot run for any office for the next 6 to 7 years. She's thinking she's going to run for District 51, but as a gubernatorial candidate, she violated the Oregon State Constitution, Article 2, Section 22 of that amendment, which means that she cannot run for any office, not dog catcher, not county commissioner, not secretary of state, nothing, for two times the length of the office she was seeking when she violated the Oregon State Constitution, Article 2, Section 22. That means she cannot run against the incumbent for House District 51. Christine Drazen, you are on notice right now. You are in violation as a gubernatorial candidate of the Oregon State Constitution Amendment that went up to the Oregon Supreme Court and then illegally went down to the Ninth Circuit in San Francisco with the feds, who have no business deciding our sovereignty of Oregon or our state constitution. And it came back up and was withheld and stands as it was passed by Oregonians in 1993-1994. You, Christine Drazen, may have beautiful hair and a beautiful smile and that little squeaky voice, but you are not leadership material. You showed that when you were in the legislature before, voting for tampons in the boys' bathrooms, voting for other things to happen here in Oregon that Oregonians did not want, and you called yourself a Republican. But Republicans that are really rhinos, that are willing to violate the Constitution of the state that they want to be a governor in, have no business running against an incumbent who's already proven that he listens to Oregonians and he follows his conscience, and he's not swayed by tampons in boys' bathrooms or windmills made by the Red Chinese Party off the coast of Oregon. God bless you all, folks. This is Maggie Rose. Please donate to Republic Broadcasting Network. And y'all have a great week and weekend. And I'll be back next Monday with my two guests. God bless y'all and good night.
No, we're not gonna take it anymore. Remember golden days when the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. Now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon old glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame.
We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. This country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. She's been driven way off track. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now. And we ain't gonna take it anymore. Is right, and our victory's on the way, and we won't give up the fight till we hear 200 million.
Hey there, are you gonna wait till the cows come home to get your new ease off drop and lift?
What in the world is an ease off drop and lift?
Our ease off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the EaseOff installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.